San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, September 18, 2020. Today's lesson is Living Your Dream with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to see everyone here today. Let us anchor ourselves in with this undeniable, perfect, and pure truth. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And I say that every Sunday to anchor us in the truth of our being, the truth of universal being, the unassailable truth. So today, we're in September. This is the third week of September, and our theme is work. And as I mentioned before, work can be anything that you think, do, or say, wherever you do it, however you do it, alone or with others. And to top it all off, the product is also called work, the product that you create, a body of work. Now remember, work is doing. But how you work is being authentic, dedicated, devoted, proud of your own effort, confident in your success. When you are doing these things, you are living your dream life, and you can tell you're living your dream life by how you feel, not by what you are physically doing, by how you feel about all the things in your life, all the things that you do, all the things that you express. Les Brown said, too many of us are not living our dreams because we are living our fears. He's right. An awful lot of people wake up in the morning not excited about the day, but dreading it. Dreading having to get up, having to get ready for work, having to go to their job, being what they consider forced to do something. Matthew Fox said, a job is something we do to get a paycheck and pay our bills. Jobs are legitimate at times, but work is why we are here in the universe. Work and calling often go together. So our work and how we do our work is who we are. We don't have to feel angst or dread or sorrow that all of this, you know, our life is not working out like we would prefer it to be, that our dreams are not being met, they're not being attained. And someone may have laughed at you for what your dreams are, made fun of you, ridiculed you, and pretty much made you feel less than if you ever voiced the magnificence of your dreams to them. Well, I want to remind you, if it wasn't your dream, you wouldn't have dreamed it. Somebody else is going to dream their own dreams, and you cannot fulfill their dreams, just as they cannot fulfill yours, nor can they deny yours. Your dreams are yours. And you are here to fulfill your own dreams. There's a Chinese proverb that said, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. So if you didn't start working on your dream 20 years ago, though I know you did, you were on your dream as a small child. the best time to focus on your dream is now. Doesn't matter if you lived in fear up until now. Your choices, your commitment, and your conscious use of the law is what is going to help you be fulfilling your dream right here and right now, living the dream of being of great value, of following your heart, of not working a day in your life because everything you do is what you love. It's not a job when it's a calling. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the Religious Science Movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And on page 523, he has a little poem that we can use as meditation or a mantra. It's called No Delays. There are no delays in the divine plan for me. Nothing can hinder the operation of this law into my life and action. Obstructions are removed from my path, and I now enter into the realization and manifestation of complete fulfillment. I do not have to wait, for the law waits upon me at every turn in life's road. Now it is done unto me. Now. In the Divine Science Federation International daily stuff that I get in the email, the one for September 17th, just yesterday, was Game Plan for Success. So Ernest tells us that we don't have to wait around, that our all that we desire is done unto us now. Well, Reverend Joanne Corciato says something similar. It's a game plan for success. Think of the importance of having a game plan. An athletic team must develop a plan in order to win a medal. Similarly, a company must develop a business plan for future growth and success. We also must have a game plan if we are to succeed in life and grow spiritually. God has a game plan too. God's game plan is simple. It is realizing the power of the I am. Whatever we believe, we create. We build our consciousness with our I am. When you say, I am divine life, I am divine substance, I am health and harmony, you are scoring a major goal. We lift our consciousness when we are on Team God. When we're focused on God's power and presence, instead of seeing seeming appearances, we elevate our consciousness. As long as we accept negative conditions at their own valuation, we will remain in bondage to them. Success, health, and happiness are the natural conditions for all mankind. As we focus on good, we become stronger members of Team God. Before long, wonderful changes will begin to manifest in every area of our lives. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "No man and no institution was ever written down or talked down by anything but itself." There was no failure that was caused by anything but ourselves. And why would that be? Well, we kind of entertained some doubt. We listened to somebody who said, "You can't do that." And for some reason, we believed them. I think it was Nelson Mandela that said, everything is impossible until you do it. There is no reason not to have, be all that we are. Booker T. Washington said, if you want to lift yourself up, lift up someone else. And what does he mean by that? No man is an island, no man stands alone. We all interact with each other. There is a lot of different stuff involved in success. And some of it is doing things, tasking, things like that. A lot of it is having a harmonious relationship with the people that you are working with, some kind of a team. You can even call it your own team God, your different team players. Reverend John Pulaski and two of his dear friends formed their own little team. They called themselves the God Squad. And so they would go out and they would do things together. They would serve together. They would have fun together. They were the God Squad. Two guys and a girl, like the Mod Squad. The best way to succeed in whatever you're doing is to help others realize their dreams. One person I'd like to give as an example of becoming successful, always moving forward, and embracing this concept of helping others is Cindy Ashton. Cindy was a guest at our center many years ago, and she became a dear friend to a lot of us. Her first book was Kiss Your Monsters Goodbye, and she did a workshop on that. Cindy was coming from Canada trying to establish herself in the United States. She just did one little step after one little step after one little step, and everything she did, she was helping someone else to realize their own dream. Now, she is a television celebrity and an internet celebrity and a trainer. And what she does is she teaches people how to find and use their own voice. She is still singing. She is a host on some TV show. But she is still, every step of the way, she is still supporting others, being a part of a team. And in so doing, her own success keeps increasing. They even had, in Times Square, they even had a big ad with her up on the videos. I thought, that's cool. And I believe she has sung in Madison Square Garden. So, yeah. And she does this not just going after her own goals, but by helping others, meeting the needs of others. We can do this with our colleagues, with our family members. We can say, okay, what is the thing that we all need to do? And what are each of our talents that we can invest in this effort to get things done? If you're going to build a software system, you need people who know about the hardware. You need people who know about the software. You need people who know how to talk to the people who are commissioning the work so you can get the requirements. You need people who know how to write, how to communicate clearly. You need supervisors, and you need people to do the low-level work. And that brings everybody up and creates a piece of work that is worthy of your team. Salespeople. A good salesperson isn't the guy who sells the most for 3 months in a row. A good salesperson is the one who meets the needs of the people who are coming to them. If it's a young couple and they're going to have a baby, they need a crib, he can sell them the crib that meets their needs, not the most expensive crib in the store. If they need a desk, but it's just, say, mom needs a desk for where she's paying the bills and writing letters. You don't need a full-scale two-person attorney desk for that. What you can do as a successful salesperson is meet the needs of your client, because that's also meeting your needs. It's keeping you from being greedy. It's keeping you from looking at another human being as a dollar bill. It also, in helping others to meet just exactly what they need, word of mouth spreads. And your sales are consistent over time because you are doing what you are called to do, which is to serve the needs of others in the manner of sales. And you're also developing relationships with these people. Albert Einstein said, "Strive not to be a success, but rather to be of value." When you are of value, your success is guaranteed. Your success. Not necessarily the success of somebody else. Somebody who says, okay, in order to be a success, you have to be in this field, you have to have these degrees, you have to make a minimum of this salary, and you have to be on your way up. And anybody who gets in your way, take them out. That's not success. That's fear. And we don't want to live our fears. There's more than enough of everything for everyone. If somebody gets one promotion, that doesn't mean it's the only promotion on the planet. That may be the right promotion for them on their path at the time. If it's a nasty path, you'll see that it doesn't work out and they're not happy. The promotions for you will be those that are in alignment with who you are, your gifts, your needs, your desires, your ability to perform well, being you in that position. I don't need to be the CEO of Qualcomm. I would rather not be the CEO of Qualcomm. But somebody wants to be the CEO of Qualcomm, and the right person will be promoted into that position. One of the ways that we know that we affirm our success is through spiritual mind treatment. There's a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous, which Ernest Holmes had a large hand in helping to found that organization. And the statement is, it works if you work it. There's 12 steps. And so if you follow these 12 steps and you work them, then you will become no longer an alcoholic. They still call themselves alcoholic, but recovered alcoholics. So they will no longer be drinking and destroying their lives and destroying their friends' lives. In science of mind, we also have a saying, it works whether you work it or not. So why not consciously work with the one presence and one power that's greater than you are, that you can use it? Now, that's not a catchphrase that everybody uses, but It works whether you use it or not, whether you consciously use it or not. And that's because it's a principle. It's a law. It's unchangeable. What's really good to know is that when we understand the science of mind, we find that the deck of the universe is stacked in your favor. It's stacked in each one of our favor. We use spiritual mind treatment or scientific prayer or affirmative prayer in the science of mind. And here in the textbook, Science of Mind textbook, page 153, is prayer is its own answer. Ernest Holmes writes, cause and effect are but two sides of thought, and spirit, being all, is both cause and effect. Prayer, then, is its own answer. The Bible tells us, before they call, I will answer. Before our prayer is framed in words, God has already answered. But if our prayer is one of partial belief, then there is only a tendency toward its answer. If the next day we wholly doubt, then there's no answer at all. In dealing with mind, capital M, mind, the universal mind, the God mind, we are dealing with a force we cannot fool. We cannot cheat principle out of the slightest shadow of our most subtle concept. The hand writes and passes on, but the writing remains. And the only thing that can erase it is writing of a different character. There is no obstruction. One cannot dissipate with the power of truth. It's a double negative. There is no obstruction. One cannot dissipate with the power of truth. So what he's saying is, if you've got an obstruction, the power of truth can negate it. When you do your spiritual mind treatment and do it with feeling and thought and power, understanding the power that you have, it must come to pass. The only thing that keeps it from doing that is your own doubt or fear. On page 277, paragraphs 2 and 3, Ernest talks about, don't ask God. Tell God. Don't ask the universe. Tell the universe. He wants us to remember that we have to be active, conscious, and aggressive, because this is a power of force we are using. He writes, we have no record of Jesus asking God to do anything except in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Aside from that instance, Jesus' method of approach during his entire ministry was to give thanks and then command the law to work. This is the correct manner of approach to spirit and the law. Yet have we any record of another man so apparently trying to follow the divine will? No, we don't. When Jesus healed people and told them to get up and walk, he did not pray that they might be able to get up and walk. He exercised an authority which seemed to be the result of his communion with Spirit, and undoubtedly it was. So what Ernest is telling us is God's not a namby-pamby, and the law is not fluctuating and arbitrary. It's a power. It's a power, a force Think of it like gravity. Think of it like electricity. You tell it what to do, and it has no choice but to follow through. You're the one with the power. This power that's greater than you are in the universe, power for good, you get to use. You get to use. You have the authority to use it. Ernest wrote, Jesus did not pray that they might be able to get up and walk. He exercised an authority which seemed to be the result of his communion with Spirit, and undoubtedly it was. Practice is a definite statement in mind, a positive affirmation. It is an active, conscious, aggressive mental movement, and in such degree as it embodies an idea, there is no longer anything in our minds which denies the idea. It will take form because it now becomes a part of the law and order of the universe in which we live. Your thought is a thing. It becomes a part of the universe in which we live. He goes on to say, the law is subject to spirit and is its servant. The law is a servant. Man is spirit, but until he knows this, he'll only be half using the law, for he will not have a clear understanding to fall back upon. Treatment removes doubt and fear, lets in the realization of the presence of spirit, and is necessary while we are confronted by obstructions or obstacles. Every problem is primarily mental, and the answers to our problems will be found in spiritual realizations. So what's he saying? Name it and claim it. Name it and claim it with power. There was a policy in the military for a while called don't ask, don't tell. That's not what we're going to do here. We're going to don't ask, do tell. Don't ask, oh, Spirit, please. Oh, you know, if it works out for me, okay, please. No, tell it. Command it. Take the power that is yours to use and use it. Give thanks and then make a command. Be active. Be conscious. Be aggressive. Because this is a huge power you've got. There's no reason for you not to walk around feeling like you've got the crown of power on your head, because you do. Now that's a crown of power for good. Power for good. It doesn't mean that you can willy-nilly do whatever you want because of this thing called cause and effect. So I guess really you can willy-nilly do whatever you want, but you're going to receive the effects of what you put out. The consequences of your action, the natural consequences. I believe it was last week I was talking about you throw a ball against a brick wall and it comes right back, it cause and effect. Well, for this, you can assemble an orchestra, stand up in front and be the maestro, and you can conduct a whole orchestra of beautiful music. That beautiful music, all those instruments, all those people, that's your life. That's an analogy for your life. You're the director. If you make them go faster, they go faster. If you make them go slower, go down, stop, they do. Because they are at your will. And this is always a good thing when you are using it for good. In the glossary of the Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes wrote, the law is a blind force, and whatever goes into the subjective state of our thought tends to return again as some condition. It's a blind force. It'll just steamroll through whatever we thought we were going to have in its way. The affirmation for today in the journal that we're using, Living Everyday Wonder, is the dream of God is awake and alive in me. And that's true. The dream of God is always awake and alive in you and me. I received the daily word, and in cleaning and sorting stuff in the boxes, I found one from 2021. It was the March and April one. And so I thought, well, I wonder what it has to say. And I opened it up and I thought, it has to say something that I should say tomorrow. So here you are. This one is expectation from the Daily Word. Expectation keeps me passionate about my life. And who all does not want to be passionate about your life? Why would we ever want to live a boring life when there are so many options out there for excitement, for thrill, for meeting other people, for being where we want to be when we want to be there? Expectation keeps me passionate about my life. It says, expectation keeps me in a state of gratitude about all the good that is on its way to me. I may not know what the future holds, but I dream big and maintain a bold vision for my life. I take steps to create the life of my dreams. I nurture my relationships with friends and family, take care of my physical and emotional health, bring my best efforts to my work, and share my talents through service. My prayer life keeps me attuned to the wonderful possibilities for my life. As I claim peace, prosperity, and joy in prayer, I carry a confident expectation into my daily life. I do not fret over how or when my good will manifest. I maintain a joyful expectation that the life of my dreams is already mine. The life of my dreams is already mine. So you can see why when I saw that, I thought, hey, that like is a little summary of everything I'm going to be talking about. So I copied, pasted it, and decided to share it with you, these wise words. We are all living our dream. Every one of us are living the dream that we have dreamed for ourselves. And if we don't like this dream, maybe the best time to change our dream was 20 years ago, but the second best time is now. So I thank you for your time, for your attention. Namaste.